Menards is the ultimate home improvement destination in the Midwest. Since 1958, we've been supplying you with everything from hardware to automotive needs. We believe in helping you save big money on every project, big or small. From top-of-the-line tools to plumbing supplies, paint, and appliances, we've got you covered. We thank you for making Menards a part of your year. From our family to yours, have a safe and happy new year.
Save big money at Menards.
Felt ya. Welcome to the Village Oak Tree for October 16th. I'm your host, Terrence O'Donnell, and I thank you for joining me once again. So I thought I was going to have an interview with a former Oklahoma politician, but he ghosted me this week. So you got just me. I crafted up a bunch of offbeat news stories I collected over the last week from non-mainstream news sources that tell us all a little different take on what the American mainstream news media is telling everyone. So just to give you an idea here, some of these news stories you may have heard, some of them, and some you may not have heard about in the last few days. Most of these I picked up are from The Cradle and Russia's RT News, which I've heard has been banned in the United States now. I also found an article from Substack commentator and Reuters to balance things out a little bit. From a week ago, the story in The Cradle, which has also been in a couple of other media publications about how Blinken approved Israeli attacks on Gaza aid convoys. As most people around the world know by now, Israel has been committing genocide by any means possible, including starvation and prevention of medical supplies from reaching the people who are most in need. They have deliberately targeted and destroyed nearly all the hospitals in Gaza, killed and arrested most of the medical staff there, especially any Palestinians, and largely kicked out any foreign doctors and nurses, or at least discouraged them from staying. Food trucks were stopped at the borders and cargoes destroyed by fanatical Israelis and so on. Now, as I'm talking about this, northern Gaza is under siege again, and the Palestinians and medical people are told to go to South Gaza or be starved and killed, which right now they're being starved and killed because they got nowhere else to go. Northern Gaza has now become a free fire zone, and the IDF is shooting and bombing anything that so much as twitches. I'm telling you all this as a backdrop to the story of how U.S. Secretary of State blessed all this in so many words while he was lying to Congress, telling them just the opposite. As of yesterday, a story has been leaked to the Washington Post, deliberately or otherwise, detailing a letter to Israel that if Israel doesn't start allowing aid into Gaza within the next 30 days, Biden will turn off the arms spigots. Now, we all know by now that this is probably just another false flag leaked out to the Washington Post to try and convince voters in the U.S. that the Democratic Party actually is starting to care for the Palestinians 2 weeks out from the election. Sorry, Joe Biden, you're about a year too late. Leaking this letter out now only makes your situation look worse. This looks just like it actually is because of the horrific video of the man who burned to death a couple of days ago at the Al-Aqsa Martyrs Hospital by dropped Israeli firebombs. Powers behind the throne figured that they should do something, anything, to try and sway public opinion back to favoring Kamala Harris. I can truthfully say this little ploy will not work as it stands now. Trump actually has a shot at winning this, despite all of his latest antics, like dancing on stage to some music at the start of a rally for nearly 40 minutes, like someone with onset dementia. I know what that looks like because my late mother died from the combination of dementia and COVID a couple of years ago. So this week's commentary is going to be mostly about the wars overseas because the U.S. is on the verge of supporting the start of World War III in the Middle East. I'm sure all the American Christians who believe in the Bible scriptures from Revelations are jumping around like crazy right now as they seem to see their convictions come to life. You know, all those biblical stories about the Antichrist and the four horsemen of the apocalypse and the prediction of a world war to end all wars to begin the rapture that starts in the Middle East. For those of us who are not evangelical Christians, or even Christians for that matter, this threat of an existential war that may go nuclear is very scary. Israel is doing all it can to draw in the U.S. military over there so they can destroy Iran and all of its proxies that seem to be a threat to Israel and their vision of a greater Israel and the U.S. hegemony, which involves a little more Middle Eastern real estate than they have control of right now. We're talking about all of Palestine, Lebanon, Western Syria, Jordan, and the Sinai Peninsula of Egypt, according to Israelis. I say the Israelis because Netanyahu had a map when he gave his speech to the UN here about a week or so ago, and it map showed exactly that all of that land I just rolled off to you does, in fact, going to belong to Israel. Yeah, well, there's some people over there that might object to that. When I say all it can, as far as, what they're going to do about it, I'm talking about rumors about things like using depleted uranium warheads to bomb Beirut, which I got from another new article from The Cradle a few days ago. Now, there have been some people who saying, well, they can't confirm that. Nobody really knows for sure whether the Israelis used depleted uranium warheads on some bombs they dropped to knock out Nasrallah. Well, The Cradle has a report that says that they did. So not only do the refugees have to worry about all the toxic dust from flattened buildings, they also may have to deal with possible radiation poisoning from uranium-laden warheads. It's supposed to be against the law, international law. We all know how Israelis feel about international law. They've been saying in the last few months that Gaza has been deliberately made uninhabitable by Israel. It's beginning to look like Israel wants to do the same for Lebanon, turning these areas into wastelands to keep the Arab peoples out, claiming the land for the Israeli settlers. In order to get away with that, they have to mount a successful ground operation, and there's an obstacle in their way: the UNIFIL troops from the UN peacekeeping force. These guys are set up in the southern part of Lebanon from the Litani River in the north to the southern border as drawn by the UN in order to keep the peace between Lebanon as Hezbollah and the Israelis. Well, we all see how that's working out. There are multiple stories out now since I found the one I have about how 5 peacekeepers now have been injured by Israeli tanks flying on their watchtowers, with one who was actually shot by an IDF soldier on Sunday. These guys were Sri Lankans and from Indonesia. One remote base with the Irish peacekeepers in it had their defensive barrier walls knocked down by Israeli tanks, supposedly. Of course, Netanyahu denies this. They were accidents, he says. Netanyahu made a speech telling the UN to pull its troops out, or worse things would accidentally happen. How does that sound like a mafia boss? The Irish contingent told the IDF to feck off after 2 tanks crashed through their main gate. So the question is, who will flinch first, the IDF or the UN? We may have an answer any day now. I would like to think the UN forces will hold their line. The Irish contingent says they will be staying and firing back no matter what the UN says. Meanwhile, the United States is hanging back and letting everyone do whatever they want, as if they expect Israel to do their dirty work of creating a Middle East that will serve only the interests of the U.S. and its allies in the EU. The question on everyone's mind around the world is whether the U.S. will take a more active role in helping Israel attack Iran. We all know they're going to. It's just a matter of how and when. We all know about all the bombs and munitions the U.S. and EU have been providing, such as possibly depleted uranium bombs, and that Israel may be using. Again, we got stories saying yes. We got people saying no. Truth will come out someday. But will the U.S. provide aerial refueling planes so Israel can bomb Iran? So far, with everything I've heard, the answer is no. What they are doing, besides supplying all the planes, parts, and munitions, is sending troops to Israel. The first ones were the Army Engineering Unit tasked with creating that floating pier a while back, and we saw how that worked out. A several-million-dollar failure, which, if certain independent news stories from Gaza were true, also used by Army Special Forces to help rescue four Israeli hostages at the cost of nearly 300 Palestinians. There were rumors of elements of the 82nd Airborne totaling about 4,000 troops on the ground in Israel not long ago. No one wants to confirm that. As of this week, the U.S. is sending a 100-man air defense unit with a THAAD air defense system to help Israel defend against incoming missiles and drones. I've heard of these THAAD systems before, but I listened to one commentator on Monday talk about how out of date these systems are and how these soldiers are nothing but bait for Iran, so the U.S. will have an excuse to go to war with Iran once American soldiers start getting killed. As a former soldier, this sickens me to hear how cheaply the U.S. government, the current U.S. government, values soldiers' lives. I mean, this is not a new thing as far as wasting soldiers' lives, but there's no strategic objectives to be gained by throwing away these lives in Israel. Israel and the United States cannot defeat Iran because of the Russia and China factory. And I'll get into a little more detail about that here a little bit later. Russia has made a deal, sort of, to help Iran against the Israelis and the U.S. China has made a deal to help the Russians, sort of. China said that they will not allow the Iranians to shut down all the Persian Gulf and Red Sea transition points out of the Middle East. China needs that oil. About 80% of their oil comes out of the Middle East, the Gulf states anyway. Not to mention, so does the rest of the world. If the Iranians shut off the Strait of Hormuz and the Houthis shut off the Straits of Bab el-Mandeb, it's game over for much of the world, as shipping would come to a near standstill. And that's the most likely reason the U.S. is telling Israel they will not supply air refueling tankers for a strike on Iran, and that Israel can only send missiles to take out military targets. So the world waits to see what happens next, while Israel continues to flatten Lebanon and ethnically cleanse Gaza. In Eastern Europe, there was a report from RT that back in 2022, when the Nord Stream pipeline was sabotaged in the Baltic Sea, there was a U.S. Navy warship really close by with navigational transponders turned off. According to the picture I saw, it was a large amphibious ship that holds large transport boats in its well deck in the rear, large enough to hold an LCAC, which is basically a floating small boat. An airship, and a couple of LCMs, and these are troop with small vehicle transports, or, you know, we used to call them mic boats when I was in the military, or just some small rib boats, you know, rigid inflatable boats for special operations divers. You know, these guys that they commonly call SEAL teams. If the U.S. wanted to divide and conquer, what better way to split the EU from Russia than to shut off their cheap Russian oil and gas? Kind of worked, didn't it? Look at what Germany's going through right now. They're deindustrializing on a massive scale because they can't afford the oil to keep the factories open. France and Italy and the rest of them are also having issues. Some of them are starting to make workarounds. So now Europe, Western Europe for the most part, is nearly solely dependent on the U.S. to ship liquefied natural gas by ship from the U.S. to Europe. And for crude oil to come by way of India, by way of Russia, at a much higher price. They want to know why German manufacturing is cratering. All the while, the American fossil fuel industry is laughing all the way to the bank. In the East, RT reports that the Russian military has taken out a Patriot missile battery in Ukraine. Those are very expensive and not 100% reliable. And now, seems like the Russians are taking them out. The U.S. is paying a heavy price to defeat the Russians, and that price tag is getting higher and higher all the time. And for what? There are more and more reports coming out that the government in Ukraine is so corrupt that all that cash the U.S. has loaned / given to Ukraine is just fattening a bunch of bank accounts overseas, Zelensky being at the top of that list. Shades of the military contractor scandals from the Iraq War kind of comes to mind.
Menards is the ultimate home improvement destination in the Midwest. Since 1958, we've been supplying you with everything from hardware to automotive needs. We believe in helping you save big money on every project. big or small. From top-of-the-line tools to plumbing supplies, paint, and appliances, we've got you covered. We thank you for making Menards a part of your year. From our family to yours, have a safe and happy new year.
Save big money at Menards.
Another story I was reading this afternoon, this journalist saying that Ukraine is actually winning the war against Russia. They're winning the war of attrition by standing their ground for so long and all this kind of stuff. Despite all the other stories that I've been listening to and reading about over the last 3 years, how Russia is being really, really patient and just kind of slowly slogging forward, trying not to burn too many of their troops and so on and so forth. So, you know, you got to wonder what's the truth. You don't really know for sure. And my guess is that, like most of the people I listen to now, the Ukraine is going to fold here very, very soon, likely after the election here in a couple of weeks. All of this is dividing members of NATO. Hungary and Serbia have turned towards Russia lately, with Hungary coming right out and saying no to Ukraine membership in NATO. Western Europe wants this, as they see Russia as a threat, despite Russia stating otherwise. They view Ukraine as the linchpin to their security, especially Germany. The U.S. has convinced European NATO members that Russia is coming for them, and now they're in a panic, which is one of the reasons why Finland and Sweden decided to join up. And of course, the West let them really quickly compared to other countries. And that's a whole other issue as well. So just 2 years ago, everyone in Europe was all buddy-buddy with Russia due to the cheap oil and gas imports. You know, not real buddy-buddy, but, you know, they were on friendly terms, trading back and forth and, you know, importing cheap oil and gas. Now they're running scared of Russia, courtesy of the certain U.S. envoys talking up this fear for the benefit of the U.S. Remember what I said earlier about the new dependency on U.S. gas imports? What if that was by design? What if the panic drill about Russia is a ploy to get the EU to buy more weapons from the U.S. defense contractors? What if, as U.S. Senator Lindsey Graham once said on a news talk show, the U.S. wants exclusive access to all of Ukraine's vast mineral wealth? Apparently, it's about the lithium in Ukraine that him and his cronies want. Speaking of the U.S., most of us who have paid attention to the news through the last 30 years knows that the U.S., through its agency, the CIA, has been and still is famous for paying off insurgents to fight against regimes they don't like. Well, they're at it again in Syria. The U.S. is funding Islamic insurgents once again to attack the Russians in Syria to keep trying to instigate a regime change in order to get rid of Bashar al-Assad. They tried a few years ago, but the Russians helped thwart that. But the U.S. is still working at it, this time using Ukrainian special forces in Syria to try and train the jihadists. I don't think that's going to work out so great, but they did blow up, an installation next to a Russian base here recently. In political news, Hungary is accusing the U.S. of trying to interfere in their elections. Imagine that. The U.S. has been accusing several countries of interfering in their elections of late, and the U.S. still hasn't gotten over the alleged Russian election interference from 2016. This is what the U.S. does, and has been doing for decades, instigating regime changes when some other country stands up to them and has a government they don't like, such as Hungary. Biden's government doesn't like Viktor Orban and his Fidesz party, so they want to undermine it and replace it with a more U.S.-compliant government, much like they just tried to do in Venezuela recently. And to bring everything back home to the United States, FEMA and their subsidiaries, who are trying to provide relief in the Appalachian Mountains regions hit by Hurricane Helene, are being told you aren't welcome in certain places. Some small towns and communities have set up their own militias who are providing security and helping people out. They don't want the feds anywhere near them, chasing them out with guns. A lot of this came from social media, where all kinds of misinformation about FEMA and the feds ran rampant immediately after Hurricane devastated everything. It was bad because the feds, being stupid, didn't think outside of the box and held up aid in some areas until they could get up to these people with wheeled vehicles, with the roads all washed out, they waited until they could get through. Meanwhile, some local veterans cobbled together mule trains and helicopters and were doing more than the feds could ever do. It's no wonder they aren't being welcomed with open arms. FEMA is truly up there, is finally up there now, but they're a day late and a dollar short, and they've lost the trust of these already skittish mountain folk. The rumors that FEMA was broke and didn't have any money didn't help them either. The bigger question is whether these local militias will stand down eventually. And I read some news early this morning that apparently law enforcement's going in there and they arrested a couple of these guys who didn't want to stand down. So the question is, you know, how's that going to work out? Of course, this could be the start of something bigger. There are all kinds of rumors like this being promulgated by the MAGA Republicans, notably Trump and Vance. If you read or listen to Tom Hartman and his radio show, he will tell you that the MAGA people are gearing up to take over the country one way or another. Now, I'm a local election poll worker where I live, and as a former soldier, I've taken these threats, real or not, seriously when I go to work on November 5th. I work at a polling station that has a lot of conservative Republicans who vote there. I've met a few of my time working there, and they worry me. Not that I'm worried about my personal or physical security, but I don't want to have to listen to a bunch of trash-talking idiots who want to stir up trouble. I can defend myself if necessary, but I doubt it will come to that. But loudmouths are harder to deal with because this whole freedom of speech thing. Now, I'm all for First Amendment rights when you use that right to abuse, but when you use that right to abuse others, that's when the line should be drawn. And we'll see how that works out come November 5th. Now, that's all I have to say today. I hope everyone has a good week ahead. And I'll be back again next week with who knows what. Will we be watching as Iran takes out the Israeli planes and carpet bombs all the Israeli military and civilian infrastructures by then? That's a good question. We're all waiting to find out. So, again, I'll talk to you again next week. Sláinte. Now, take a couple of minutes to listen to my advertisement, and I'll be back with another chapter from The Priest to wrap things up this week. I want to take this minute to explain how you can support this podcast and tell you about my book. This podcast is free to subscribe to on all the major mobile podcast apps, on my YouTube channel, Crown of Biha. For the first 30 days on my Substack page, Crown of Biha, the Tree of Life, at Substack.com. With that in mind, I'm asking for donations of any amount. I decided that I would rather ask for donations instead of charging subscriptions, so everyone has an opportunity to watch or listen to this podcast everywhere in the world. All I'm asking for is help in defraying the cost to produce and distribute this podcast and maintain my website. I've set up a donations tab on the Village Oak Tree webpage at rss.com and on my website at www.crownofbiha.com. Link to PayPal for your security. This way you can use any currency you wish from around the world, providing PayPal is available to you. Now let me tell you about my book. It's entitled The Fugitives in a New United States, which can be found at major online book retailers around the world, such as Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Lulu, and many others. It's available in hardcover, paperback, and digital ebook form. You can also buy a hardcover or a paperback edition from me directly through the bookstore page on my website. This is a fictional story about what the United States might look like by 2031 under an authoritarian religious government. It's full of drama, action, and romance, but I wrote it for young adults and older, so it's safe. Look for Fugitives in the New United States at your favorite online book retailer, and I hope you enjoy it. I appreciate your time and support, no matter how you choose to do so, and I thank you very much for taking the time out for me. So, now I'm back, and now I'm going to read a story here. This is Chapter 13 of The Priest, formerly known as Bob, by Michael Campy. The Kid and Life in the Maybe Real. The priest guy told me we have to leave here before it gets too hot. I'm not sure what too hot is. It's hot, but what makes it too hot? Do we get cooked if it's too hot? For as much of my life as I can remember, it's been hot. Not all the time, but most of the time. But nobody ever said anything about too hot. I like this place. No one hurts me, and there are things to eat and water to drink. It might not be this way anywhere else. People have told me things before, and then when I did what they told me, it would either hurt or make me cry. And I don't know if this priest guy is telling me something that will hurt or make me cry. He hasn't done that yet, but he might be trying to fool me. I don't think grown people tell kids things that are right. They just tell us things that are right for them. I don't think they really like kids except when we do stuff for them. And even then, they don't like us very much. A long time ago, when I was little, there was a place and people that I think I liked and that liked me. I can't remember if that time was just something that I made up while I was sleeping or if it was real. The maybe real place was never too hot and it was never too cold. It was always just the way it was supposed to be. It was by a big water that went further than I could see, and the people who took care of the place never hurt anybody. Sometimes they would take me to the water and splash me around in it and dig holes in the dirt, and I think they would laugh. I have only heard people laugh when they were doing bad things to me, but the laughs I heard in the maybe real were different. They were softer, and they made me feel good. Sometimes I thought about whether the maybe real was something I made up, and then I would think that if I didn't make it up, how long it would take for someone to do enough bad things to me to make me think I made it up. It's been a long time since I thought about it. It comes back now that I'm with the priest, but only sometimes. Seems like it's in me somewhere, and it wants to get out. But there is so much bad stuff piled on top of that, it can't escape. It's quiet here. I'm alone because the priest guy has gone out when he thought I was sleeping. I wasn't sleeping. I don't sleep much, even when I feel like I could. I'm afraid of sleep because bad stuff used to happen when I went to sleep. But it doesn't now, so I sleep more than I used to, but still not much. And I think that's why maybe some real has come back. One time before, I heard one of the men say, "I hope there's some food in that house up there, otherwise we might have to eat the kid." After that, I heard the word hope, and every time we come near a town, or because I hoped there would be food there so they wouldn't have to eat me. I remember the feeling when we came near somewhere that might have food, and there was food and no one ate me, then it would feel good. I liked the feeling. I had the feeling now. I hope that the maybe real was real. In places like this where there were not many noises, you could hear things that are far away. I heard the man's footsteps long before he got to the entrance to the cave. I was always scared when I heard him come because I never knew until he was actually there if it was him or not. Could be someone else. I've seen how easy it is to kill people, and he could have been killed and someone else would come, but how would they know to come here unless they followed him, and if they follow him, then they know about me, and if they knew about me, then it would be bad because there aren't many people that aren't bad. Maybe priest guy is the last person anywhere that's not bad, and if he got killed, then they would be all bad, and that would not be good. I closed my eyes real tight in case it was not him. I felt a hand on my shoulder. Then he said softly, "Hey, kid, you awake?" So that's all I have for you. Now, I want to say goodbye. And again, I'll talk to you guys all again next week. Sláinte. Thank you for listening to the show today. I hope you enjoyed it and you'll return again for another episode of the Village Oak Tree. Please like, subscribe, and reply on the YouTube videos or the audio podcast where that's available. This helps with spreading the word about what I'm trying to do, like so many others, which is to shout about all the bad things our governments are doing to us all over the world. If enough of us decide that we don't want to take it anymore, we can force the governments to do right by us as we elected them to do. As I say goodbye this week, I wish to leave you with this Irish blessing as you go about your day. May your hand always be stretched out in friendship and never in want. Slán go fóill.